All you Disney heads, welcome to another thrilling episode of
Disney Channel Surfers.
Yeah, hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Casey.
And we are related.
It's true.
I'm the brother.
I'm the sister.
Because that's how it works, okay?
It does.
Come on, get with it. So excited to talk to you about the movie we watched this week. We had you vote once again. This was a pretty close one. The theme was, the jungle. We, journeyed back to the jungle, you know?
Yeah.
And we had you vote between Jungle to Jungle, starring Tim Allen, where he plays like a workaholic father who finds out that he has a long lost son who grew up on an island
indigenous
of aboriginal,
people,
like,
yeah,
there you go, indigenous tribal, people, and he has to bring him to the jungles of New York City. Whoa, talk about culture shock. And it was that against our winner, The Jungle Book, but the one from 1994.
Yeah.
The live-action one, not the 1964, I think. 1967, a Disney animated movie.
Yeah, this is Disney's first live-action movie.
Yeah, y'all thought it was 101 Dalmatians, didn't ya?
Yeah,
well,
I
you
remember.
Were wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong.
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 Hi, Chris. this was the first one, all the way back in good old 1994. See, millennials produced something good once again.
I was two when this came out.
Oh, right. We didn't produce it.
No,
right?
We were still very young.
Millennials are aware of something really cool. Yeah, there you go.
This was made for us. I'm excited to talk about this.
For sure. So, let's get into it. So, this was a favorite of mine growing up.
It was. I honestly, when Jacob showed me the poster for it, I could not remember it in my head. I was just like, I don't know if I have seen this, but I know
she's
we...
like, what the hell is Mowgli doing with abs? What is happening?
Yeah, it did feel awkward that
a little
he was kind of hot.
It's like he's
hot.
Like, Mowgli's
happening?
Hot? What?
I definitely was just like, huh, I don't really remember this. We only had one TV, though.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So I had to have seen it.
I had to have been in the room while it was playing, at least.
Right.
But after I started it up, I definitely recognized it and totally remembered it going through. So.
It is a classic.
It's great.
So what stands out? So came out in 1994, obviously. This was directed by Stephen Sommers, who we you know for his movies that came later, which include The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. Amazing movie. And The Mummy Returns. So he did the two good ones, folks. Don't worry.
Yeah.
second one, basically a cookie cutter, basically a covering copy of the first one. But, you know.
It was
so
still hella fun.
Yeah, that's the winning formula back then. That's kind of how they did sequels, like
for
a while. Then he did so the Mummy movies, he did the G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra movie.
Ooh, yeah, not so good.
Not as good. Not as good. I feel like there was one more though. Let me see here.
Okay.
When Worlds Collide. Oh, God, he directed Van Helsing. Ooh, that was the one that put him in movie jail. Okay. this movie was great.
This movie is great. And it originally was going to be an indie film.
Mm-hmm.
And then Disney decided to back it and they doubled their budget.
Which makes sense because that's why, you know, when you do watch this and you're expecting like, oh, I wonder how they adapted this to... adapted the animated movie into this. It's not that way. It's more like it's more closely an adaptation of the book. Or,
it's a story, yeah.
Yeah.
With the same character.
See, like, oh yeah, and see, great. That's what I liked about these opening credits is it made the distinction that this is based on characters created by Rudyard Kipling. It even says that it's not a straight up adaptation of anything.
Right. It's kind of its own thing.
Yeah. I like. I wish more movies would do that, where it's like, oh, these are based on characters from this, but no, we're doing our own thing.
Because yeah, we're gonna remove it and change it, and yeah, I love that.
Yeah. We open with a really, really cool, like, close-up of a map.
Yes, and some really whimsy music that I fucking love.
Yeah, I love the music. Like, music was one of my favorite parts of this. Always has been. I just love the, yeah, I love all the, oh, god dang it.
Of course. And every good movie has good music.
Especially with something like this, when you know your lead character, you know, Mowgli, like, spends a good portion of his time, like, in the jungle, like, not interacting with animals. Yep, that, because these animals don't talk, thank God.
Yeah, I agree with that, thank God.
Like, even 101 Dalmatians, like, while it can be boring for kids sometimes when the animals don't talk, mm-hmm. I think it's cool.
I agree.
Now it's the default, like, the animals, they gonna talk, because we have the technology!
Remember Lion King, guys?
Basil Polidorus is the composer. Really, lovely. Really good. Love his stuff. Yeah, remember, yeah, Lion King, yeah.
Not so good.
We're gonna be completely accurate, but make them talk. It's like, it doesn't connect. It did prove, like, you have to pick one lane. You gotta pick one or the other. Like,
it was so rough.
Oof.
CGI, folks.
Because then Harrison Ford has done a movie now where it's a completely CGI dog.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I did not watch that.
I won't.
Anyways, so Mowgli, we see Mowgli and Kitty, two adorable tiny children.
Adorable.
So freaking cute.
ADR on these kids is really jarring sometimes, because, like, if Kitty laughs or does something, like, you can hear that it was done by somebody else or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're introduced. This is narrated by Sam Neill, yes. You know, Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park.
Fuck yeah.
And putting on closer to his accent. He's putting on a British accent. I believe he's Scottish by default. Or Australian.
Oh, I don't know.
Australian.
Australian and British accents are so close.
Yeah. And he's on the. He's on a little caravan. Like, it's a. He's a colonel in the British Army, or yes. Like something like that. So get ready, folks. Like, this is definitely a movie about colonization.
Yes, it is.
And a really, like, but a really good, like, depiction of, like, not good, but truthful, I should say. Like,
yeah, it felt real.
Truthful and just, like, holding no punches kind of thing. Right. But Sam Neill plays our narrator, and he's kind of introducing us to, it's like, oh, this is a story of, you know, war, like this and that, and pride and treasure, but it's also about love. And at its heart, I think that's what this movie is. It's a romance.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And not just a romance in the sense that it's got two people, like, falling in love in a way, but also, like, just it's a romantic depiction of, like, a Jungle Book story.
Yeah, I was going to say it's even, like, a romantic depiction of the jungle in general. Yeah. Like, seeing it through Kitty's eyes, like, she loves India and she loves the jungle and she thinks it's so cool.
Right. And this does take place in India.
Yes, it does.
Important to note. Like, typically we, like, think, oh, African means jungle. Like, African jungle.
But right.
India has lots of jungle.
Totally, totally.
So they're making their way along. They're riding on elephants. Really awesome. Like, Sam Neill got to ride an elephant.
How cool yeah. is that? Our narrator says that Mowgli and Kitty have been very close. They both bonded over their mom's passing away while giving
Disney
birth.
Disney strikes again.
So
Disney strikes again, folks. Like,
both of their moms were dead.
That was probably their demand. It's like, does this have mothers in it? Yes, it does. Yeah, no, they gotta go.
So yeah, both moms are dead. Both moms died giving birth.
Right.
Used to be way more common than it is now.
Yeah, true.
So yeah, that's kind of something to note there as well.
Mowgli's dad is hanging around. I think he's like their main guide. Or something like that?
He's, I feel like, so no, we know that Mowgli, just from our narrator, is going to be, he is set to become Lord of the Lands. That's what
Lord of the Jungle.
Said.
Like, yeah.
Well, he said, like, while they were, like, going through, he said, Mowgli will be Lord of the Lands. Like, he didn't say the jungle, so I didn't know if he was kind of high up in the India system, like their government system as well.
I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh,
I'm making speculations.
I think he means, like, you know, Shere Khan is the ruler, he said, and Mowgli is the lord.
Right, that makes sense.
So kind of like the warden of the jungle.
But yeah, so yeah. He is taking them around, though, and Shere Khan scares them.
Yeah, he's killing people like they...
Because they've hunted too much.
Yes, and this is where we find out the law of the jungle. Now, notice, like, it's a lot of, like, mirror imaging going on, lot of, like, this versus that. In this case, I feel like it's colonization versus, I don't know, urbanization. I don't know what you would call it. I don't know what the ism is for it. But basically, nature. Yeah.
Yeah.
So colonization versus, like, nature itself in a lot of ways. Yeah. So man has, and you know, I don't want to quote too much from this big scene because to me it's the scene that linchpins it all, but it's like, you know, people have lots of laws. Mm-hmm. We have multiple laws. Like the jungle has just one, like, and you know, it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
You do not, you only hunt, okay. You don't hunt any more than you need to eat. Like, right. Eat to survive or whatever. Like,
or that. If you're being... You can kill someone if you're going to be killed.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So that's kind of, like, the basis is don't kill people unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah.
Are you going to die? Okay, you can kill them.
Which, when you look at it, it's like, okay, yeah, that's pretty simple. Like, and that's really what it comes down to. Because then everything else really is, like, okay, why... why do we kill for these other reasons? Like, oh, well, we're kind of making it up. It's like, oh, for hatred. It's like, oh, cool. Okay, cool. Could we not do that?
No. Yeah, can we not?
But anyway, as of now, these guys are breaking the law.
Yeah.
Breaking the law, man. They're killing more than they need. And Shere Khan knows it. So he's like, back up.
Yeah.
And so they decide to make camp. Like, an elephant kind of goes wild and
damn,
is about to...
Damn, elephant, pull yourself together.
Yeah. I love that shot of Sam Neill, like, so yeah, funny. About to fall out. And then a little... All you need to do is give a little tut, 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 tut. Be careful, so though, cute. Kids. I don't think this works in... If you find yourself in front of an elephant and he's standing on his hindquarters, maybe get out of the way.
Yeah, move and make yourself submissive. That's what you're supposed to do.
But Mowgli is, he's an expert.
Yeah, this elephant's probably been trained to this phrase, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, he's
just a little quick tut, 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 and down the elephant goes, and he even offers his trunk to, you know, yeah, here, have this. And kid starts playing it with it. Yeah, it's a really cute kid playing Mowgli.
So cute.
And then Kitty
is so cute too, yes. So yeah, they go and they set up camp. We see Kitty dancing. It's adorable.
Yeah. Mowgli does see his dad, like, putting the moves on. Kind of a smooth operator.
So essential to the rest of the movie.
Big time. Because
seeing the scene.
And you know, it really, like, shows... It's kind of a shining example. It's like, why are guys such dicks sometimes? Like, yeah, well, we were taught. And, you know, it's not an excuse. It's just showing. It's like, yeah, no, look. Like, this is what we're raised thinking. Like,
I am taking a psychology class right now. So fun.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And, yeah, we're studying all, you know, all of the different psychologists' views on why people are the way they are. and almost all of them have that in common of, like, okay, well, you know, they've done so many studies on children. And, like, if they watch an adult do something and then the adult leaves the room, they're going to do it.
Right.
They're such little copycats, little machines, little sponges. Yeah,
right.
And so, yeah, totally, totally accurate.
Mowgli witnesses his dad offer a flower to a beautiful woman along the road. And she takes it. She's very smitten. She's a smitten kitten.
She is a smitten kitten. She totally digs him.
And her I love the friends that are just off to the side, like, watching them.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
And then he, you know, very gently kisses her upon the lips, you know, very, very nicely. You know?
Yeah, very sweet.
He's a gentleman. Mm-hmm. I love the smooth, like, he even gives, like, a look to Mowgli and a wink, I feel.
Yeah, he's so smooth. So,
yeah, for
too
sure.
Too smooth.
This
Dad
guy
is
was,
a playa.
Yeah, for sure.
Dad is always getting some. But yeah, Mowgli sees that, and that's like an image that he holds in his brain.
Interesting.
Forever.
Weird. Why people? Why parents? Why people do that?
Yeah.
And he locks that away in his memory bank. That night, he is That night, he's just kind of witnessing Kitty, dancing to the Blue Danube, mm-hmm. On a record. Like, I love this scene. Like, this does make me think of this movie every time, mm-hmm. like, I hear this song. She's dancing, like, they slow it down. Like, I'm telling you, like, it's, like, yeah, this is a romance, folks. Like, he slows it down. Like, kids are falling in love like this. I don't know how often, if this really happens, it's great.
It's cute. So sweet. Yeah, I love it.
He's just looking very long. It's like, she's so beautiful. Spinning around with her ebony locks, like, just, you know, swishing about. And so he approaches her. Oh, and by the way, he does have, like, a little pet wolf.
He does, yeah. A little
wolf cub. Mm-hmm. Little gray brother.
Yeah.
He approaches her and kind of comes out of nowhere. Like, again, he's kind of like Batman. Like, he mm-hmm. does share that trait. Comes out of nowhere. She's startled. He offers her a beautiful flower. She likes it. She smells it. And then he does the natural thing. Like, the natural next thing to do in this situation.
Time to lean in for a kiss.
He puckers his lips up so big. And
it's so cute.
And when she runs away, this is what I'm talking about with the ADR. Like, her, like, runaway sound.
Yeah.
Like, she's horrified. He's like, oh, he's a little downtrodden, but she, offers a little psst and tosses over a very heavy and very big, like, you know, bracelet.
He has to wrap it around his wrist a couple of times, which she did too.
Yes. And this bracelet belongs to her mother.
Yes. Very, very sweet moment there. Reminded me of, like, the whole, you know, thimble kiss, Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Everything always goes back to Peter Pan for me.
Damn it.
Then we have Shere Khan.
Yes, he strikes. I love that. I didn't notice this. This is the first time I noticed that the two guards he takes out are totally the two guards that we saw earlier that, mm-hmm. like, were running away, like, for shooting their guns and everything.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, Shere Khan, like, he, you know, he has a system, like, he has honor, you know, and this and that. He doesn't just kill for the hell of it.
Right.
Again, he obeys the jungle law even, he goes a little further, though, this time around.
He does.
Because he takes out those two guards, and I think he just wants to put the fear of God in everybody, like.
Yeah.
And then he kind of starts attacking the camp, or, well, I think they raise the alarm, and so he's just.
So it scared him. Yeah, it's behaving. A whole, yeah.
He is behaving according to jungle law.
Right.
Damn it. Well, I don't want to go over, because we don't get much more time with the dad.
I know.
Naboth, I think his name is. His father offers him this awesome lesson that I love. Like, he uses the campfire and uses a pot to illustrate.
I loved that too.
Yeah, as he teaches him, like, I think it's kind of English class. It's like, you know, because he has to learn English if they're going to be traveling with these colonialists, whatever. And so he spins it around, and this is where we get the names Balu, which means bear, Bagheera, which means panther,
in Hindi.
Yep, and Shere Khan. Which means tiger. And he King initially is like, oh, that's me. He's like, oh, you, Shere Khan, what?
Are you a tiger? Like, are you part tiger?
The holy man says, I am part tiger. And his dad, like, is very, you know, laughs at him. But Mowgli is very serious. He's like, no, if I go to Shere Khan and show no fear, then I will become whole tiger. And I love this because it has ties to mythology. Like,
me
it's
too.
All about...
I love it so much. I got goosebumps when I heard him say that. I was like, ooh. And I also like to hear about this and not have seen it.
Right.
We didn't get to see his dream. We just got to hear about it from him. Like, this man visits me in my dreams.
He tells me that if I see Shere Khan and show no fear, that I will become whole tiger. And basically that just means, like, more part of the jungle.
Right.
Of the jungle. Yeah. Very cool. And he's like, where did you see this holy man? He's like, in my dreams. Shere Khan's attacking. I love that Naboth saved this, like, kind of cowardly guy that we met earlier before. I think his name's Buldeo. He was along for the ride, and keep him in mind because he comes along later on.
He does, yeah.
And he, like, jumps in front. He saves this guy. I loved it. And then, unfortunately, but he pays for it with his life, unfortunately.
I know, it's so sad.
In all of the chaos, like, Mowgli, like, gets on this wagon, and the horses, like, run away. And unfortunately, this wagon's got, like, gunpowder on it and shit.
And kerosene.
Yeah, and it catches fire. So it's becoming slowly a powder keg of destruction and plowing through the jungle. He manages to make pretty far. He's even got Grey Wolf or Grey Brother with him. And he knows that, oh crap, that wheel's going to go. This thing's going. I got to get the hell out of here. And he jumps off just in time as the wagon explodes.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of lost in the jungle.
Poor little guy. How scary would that be? I mean, I realize that he, like, has grown up in the area and is, like, probably less scared of it than we would be.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, it's how still...
Those days must have been hard.
Terrifying, and, like, him calling for his dad. Yeah, that was heart-wrenching. Sad.
And the jungle welcomes him with open arms.
It does.
Sam Neill does not go after him because, I mean, he sees the explosion and just figures, like, no kid survives that.
They assume.
And I think it doesn't help that he sees while his father's dead. I mean... Even if I did save him, like...
What would we do?
What would we do?
Well... We see Mowgli sees a baby bear that gets stuck.
I love all of the encounters, like how they do this.
It's so cute! Like, yeah. I love it so much, and he helps his
baby
head
bear
out.
Is, like, stuck in a log. In a log. Probably... Who knows?
Who knows? It's very adorable, though.
He pries him out of it. Like, this was... I love the way they... Like, again, like, all the trickery they use to film these scenes.
I love it, too.
Because no animals are harmed in the making of this movie.
Right.
So, just, wow. So, he helps the baby bear, befriends him, Baloo. Encounters Bagheera, who offers his tail. It's a very fake tail.
Yes, that's true.
And he leads him by his very fake tail all the way to a pack of wolves. He's like, there you go, I helped.
That's right.
Meet them. And the training of these wolves to pull off this stunt was pretty cool. Like,
yes.
I watched the behind-the-scenes featurette on this.
Oh, that's cool.
I suggest it. It's on YouTube. It's only like 20-so minutes long. So the way they do it is they slowly, they start him at one point and they bring him to the point that they want him to end at. And it's on a raised platform and they feed him. And they slowly start lowering the platform more and more until they completely remove the platform and the wolf just knows, like, oh, that's where I have to go. Mm-hmm. That's where I stop and I get fed. And that's how they manage to bring him all the way up there. Or, yeah, he approaches them without, like, going all the way or going out of focus or anything like that. So he meets his new family, I guess, because they kind of take him in. Like, they all look at him like they're going to eat him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, but we're supposed to believe.
Like, right.
Okay,
that's
no,
true.
No, they are looking at him lovingly. Yes, that's what that is.
Yeah.
That's love. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So they raise him. I like the way they show time passing.
Me too.
Because they show him running with them as babies, as little cubs.
Don't do that.
And then they show him, like, and then we pan to the right, and then pass through some trees, and boom, there you go.
Yeah, grown-ups.
Ab-ridden Mowgli.
Hot Mowgli.
Never. Yeah, he's hot now.
He is. You would have big...
Yeah, of course.
Muscles from living in the jungle forever.
Well, Tarzan rules. George of the Jungle rules.
Yes.
Jason Scott Lee is the one who plays Mowgli, and he played Bruce Lee in Dragon, the biopic about...
That's cool.
Bruce Lee. He also played Liu Kang in Mortal Kombat, I believe.
Oh, cool.
And he's great.
He is great.
He's got a loincloth and all this. He's hanging with his buddies. He's just chilling out in a tree. And all of a sudden, this asshole of a monkey comes along.
Monkey Palace.
Yeah. And he grabs his bracelet, runs away. Mm-hmm. Mowgli chases after him. He encounters Monkey City. Like, this was really cool.
Yes, this is such a cool
space. So, Monkey City is both... It was, like, made on location. Like, they made a whole wall in, like, Bombay or something like that, which is amazing. They built that whole facade of the open mouth, like, ape and everything like that. That was made on location, which is amazing. And then a lot of the other stuff, even though its interior, that was still on location in Bombay, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
To get that authenticity and, you know. They just have the space for it because India, I don't know if you know this, it's the biggest production country in the world.
Yeah.
But this was a combination of that and then interiors and like King Louis could not be on location, so everything right. with him was inserted later. Like, you know, yeah, I don't think Jason Scott Lee ever got to meet King Louis or anything like that.
No.
King Louis stuff was all done on green screen and brought in.
Yeah, and that's due to India's animal laws.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we meet King Louis. He's an orangutan. He's like, hey, I got your fucking get your bracelet, sucker. Jason Scott Lee's like, whoa.
He's so pissed.
I love his like animal noise, his guttural like animal noises.
He does such a good job,
yeah.
I will say.
He chases him through the area. Now, sure, like I notice when some of the stuff is like totally the computer, like it's just inserts yeah. and stuff like that. But it's still impressive. It's like, wow, the fact that they did that. And it's like not as jarring as a lot of other stuff I've seen.
Totally.
It's
and this
still
was
not as
90s.
Jarring as The Matrix 2. Okay.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, he chases him through because he's trying to get his bracelet back and encounters like...
He falls down this
yeah.
water and hole. Ends up in a big treasure room. Like huge. And this is the treasure of Hanuman, which Hanuman is one of my favorite Hindu deities. He's the monkey. Excuse me. Monkey god trickster. Which makes sense.
It does. Totally does.
And he's in that stretch, like, it's just mountains of treasure everywhere. A
yeah.
big old elephant.
So
golden
cool.
elephant
oh
dealio.
My God.
Like, he encountered, this is Mowgli's first encounter with a weapon, I want to say. Because mm-hmm. I don't think, like, even as a kid, he really handled weapons. And it's just bejeweled, like, dagger.
Very cool.
Really pretty. And deadly. And he's checking it out, and he sees King Louis mocking him, and he's got all his subject monkeys around, and he's
so
just
funny.
Mocking him. He's like, give me my fucking necklace, dude.
Yeah.
Again, I really love all this stuff, because this is all done without dialogue.
It is, like, and it tells a story.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And this is why this director really impressed me, because this is storytelling at its heart, like good old-fashioned like movie storytelling, where
Totes.
It's just like, okay, we can't communicate with our voices, all right? We're doing it with shots and, like, you know, close-ups and, yeah.
The music.
You gotta hand it to this guy, because he was working with kids and animals, fire, water.
Yeah.
Like, all the things you don't want to take on as a director.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was still relatively new. He's like, give me my necklace. He's like, nope, not going to do it. And so he starts clapping his hands together. And now all the other monkeys start, you know, climbing down. And Mowgli can tell something's up. He's like, wait, what's going on? And then, sure enough, we are introduced to the snake that guards the treasure. Ka. In a very different, takes on a very different character this time around. He's kind of a lackey. He's just kind of the muscle.
Yeah.
King Louis' muscle.
Yeah.
He attacks him. See, this was really well done because they couldn't get a real snake, obviously, so this is all going to be computer-generated snake and rubber snake.
Yeah.
And it's done really well.
They did a fantastic job, for sure. Yeah, you can't train a snake that
well. Not at all.
You just can't.
And even knowing it's a rubber snake, it's done really convincingly. Like,
really,
it's like,
really
wow, he's really interacting with that realistically. They're making it look like it's moving.
Yeah.
Realistically and everything. And they just strategically just knew how to cut around that stuff. Now we just show everything because we can.
Yeah.
Which is impressive in a different way, but, you know.
But still,
two different
like
storytelling techniques.
Encounters Ka.
Yeah, encounters Ka. He totally stabs him, which, remember that. Because it's like, okay, he stabbed the hell out of him, but I guess Ka just walks it off.
Heal. I have healing properties.
It's the water. Mowgli gets out, and I love it because he gets out, and now he's like, okay, are we done here?
Give me my fucking bracelet.
I think I fucking might prove it myself, and King Louis is like, all right, you are right.
Hands him the bracelet.
Hands him the bracelet, and he's like, good job.
So funny.
You're welcome. You're welcome here. And, really cool scene. We are introduced to an older Kitty now.
Yes, you might recognize her.
Yeah, as a certain hated character from...
Shame.
Yeah. Seriously. So, Lena Headey.
Yes.
Plays Kitty, and she is known for playing Cersei in Game of Thrones.
Fuck yeah, she did.
Ooh, I like her a lot more in this.
Me too, but can movie. I just say that Cersei is one of my favorite characters to hate of all time.
Of course. Yeah.
Because, like, oh my god.
She, in her head, like, god. She's doing it for her kids, so you can't really hate on her.
That's what I'm saying. Her character arc was so interesting to me in Game of Thrones. Like, she was...
But in the end, disappointing, like everything was with Game of Thrones.
Fuck yeah. But she was a really interesting character. I really enjoyed watching her on screen, and I liked to hate her so much.
That's true.
She's just a freaking good actress, because honestly, I didn't recognize her at first, and then I was staring
exactly,
at her.
Exactly, me neither.
Because she's blonde.
There's
in
no
Game
way
of
I
Thrones.
Would have believed. Like, I had to really look. I had to look at the cast credits before. And she, Cersei is. Wait, what? Cersei?
Yeah, same. I did the same
it's
thing.
Like, no fucking way.
I was looking at her through this whole movie and I'm like, what else do I know her from? And I, honest to God, was thinking, it's probably another period drama. Mm. I love shit like this. I like colonial movies. I like movies about the 1800s. Somebody's.
That's an elephant. We got an elephant.
Run! It's crazy. I think somebody's having car troubles. But anyways, I kept watching her this whole time, and I'm like, I have to Google it. And I Googled it, and I was like, no shit.
Yeah.
Holy moly. But she's a great actress. Like, yeah. I've been convinced always, but she was awesome in this, too, and, like, so sweet.
And she is with a group of girls. They're going to do some painting in the jungle.
Yeah.
They're being shown around by a doctor something. A doctor.
Doctor.
Doctor Doctor. Dr. Plumford, played by John Cleese.
Yeah, he's great.
Of Monty Python.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. And of George of the Jungle.
George.
So this is kind of, he's played in two movies about, you know.
Jungles.
A jungle boy.
A jungle man.
Jungle men. And he's showing him around. He's like, can anybody point out to me, you know, what species of monkeys we are dealing with? And nobody seems to be able to, but Kitty, because she's kind of, she's a little more rugged. She's not a typical girly girl.
She definitely likes the jungle more than these other girls who you can tell don't really go out to the jungle very much.
No, they just go to do their little painting and hang out, you know.
Yeah.
She identifies all of the monkeys in the area.
Yeah,
and even gives Dr. Plumford some shit.
It's pretty cute. Says there's a monkey with a mustache.
Yes. Because he has a mustache, of course. And he actually very much resembles Rudyard Kipling. They kind of made him look like Rudyard Kipling, I guess. And then they encounter a sign where it's like, danger, do not cross. This leads to the black jungle, the jungle of death. And she's like, actually, it just says, beware, this bridge is old. Well, that's a very literal translation, Kitty.
So basically, if you cross this bridge, you are part of the animal part of the jungle. But on this side, it's human part of the jungle.
Right.
So the animals don't really come to this side. The humans don't really go to the other side.
There's an understanding.
There is. There's a mutual respect there.
But one girl dares another girl. She
Nobody
dares another
will do
girl.
It, yeah.
But that girl dares that girl.
And Kitty is going to do it.
She does it. She crosses that bridge like no other. And she's just checking out the area, saying hello to all the animals. They're taking, you know, she's like, yeah, she ain't gonna do no harm. Very cool. And then she encounters some strange fellow. In, and I love that he's, like, dressed up in some weird garb that I think he stole from, like,
I was wondering where
King
he got
Louis
it.
Gave it to him.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was very odd, but that makes sense. She sees Mowgli. He gives her the flower, like when they were small. And
does
again,
the whole routine.
He tries to kiss her.
Tries to kiss her and, like, yes, correct reaction. Where it's like, no, thank you. Like,
fuck off.
I do not consent.
I can't believe she didn't think of Mowgli when that happened.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
It's been, probably like 15 years.
The necklace, it does make sense that the necklace really sells.
Totally. Because that was her mom's. It was cherished.
There's no other way.
But yeah, I was just like, I think that would have stirred a memory in my head. But maybe not.
Probably plants the seed a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
And then she's running away and she runs into Baloo, who just was startled. You know, he's just like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm not going to hurt you.
And then Mowgli shows up. I love that you can read everything that's going on mm-hmm. on his face. He's just like, oh, hey, what's up? Hey, hey, that's my friend Baloo. Oh, she's afraid. Oh, I can totally use this.
Yeah.
Okay, Baloo, be cool. Be cool, dude. We're going to wrestle.
Like, what are you doing?
It's so funny.
He's like, just be cool, man. And like, cool. He kind of stomps on his foot and he's like, ow, okay, you're really fucking heavy. Like, that foot would be done.
Yes.
Ouch. Yeah, if a bear, no way.
Ouch.
If a bear puts his weight on your foot, it's gone.
Bones broken, shattered.
But she runs away before he can really impress her.
Right. Of course. That's the normal reaction.
Yeah. Fun. And he's like, dang, okay. She runs away.
And sees William.
She runs right into the arms of Cary Elwes, the man in black himself. Did that come before or after this? I think it was before, right?
Man in black?
Yeah, he's the man in black.
The man in black.
Yeah. Princess Bride.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought you said Men in Black, and I was confused on what you were talking about. Princess Bride came out before this, I believe. Yeah, it came after. This did. Princess Bride came out in 87.
Oh, yeah. And so Cary Elwes played a very heroic, dashing figure. Well, be prepared to hate him in this.
I was going to say, I was amazed at how good of a villain he can play and how much I hated him for how much I love him.
Because typically he plays such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice guy. Such an ass. And like, yeah, he's a bad guy in this and he pulls it off very well. He's playing the quintessential colonial white man.
Yeah.
You know, just that level of like zero tolerance mm-hmm. for anybody that is not like him and seeking only treasure, power, plunder, all that good stuff at any cost.
Yeah.
And no respect for boundary. My goodness, like very lecherous.
Yeah. I genuinely couldn't tell because he reaches for her to kiss her as well. And I genuinely couldn't tell at first, like, does she want him to kiss her?
Yeah, I know, I couldn't tell.
Or is she trying, because she was
being... I think she's just being polite.
Very polite by saying, like, well, last time you kissed me, you know,
it was in public. She's like, well, this ain't no public. It's like, oh, right, because animals.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, I don't really like this.
Yeah.
Girls would get in a lot of trouble during this time if they were caught with a man alone, in a space like this, kissing.
Exactly,
like, that ruins a reputation.
Yeah. Rules don't apply to him.
So that's instantly I was like, ooh, I don't really care for him.
Yeah, and he's even like, I feel like quite the hunter today. And she's like, am I to be your prey? And he growls at her. Like,
yeah, he did.
And Mowgli doesn't like that. He's like, oh, shit, no, oh, hell no. Like,
yeah, I'm going to get her.
It's like, I gotta step in. Like, he understands that language.
Yeah, and so he kind of... tax him.
Yep, tax him, but that, and Cary Elwes, like, I mean, like, from the get-go, he's just like, you little savage, and just the hatred behind it. Like,
yeah, and he didn't get hurt. Mowgli basically just pushed him away and got him into the water.
Right.
And he didn't get hurt, you know? But he, like, his friends were there, you know, William's friends were there, and he's telling them, like, get him.
Yeah, kick his ass.
They pick up sticks, and I'm just like, whoa, what the fuck?
Now you get your sunshine.
Two on one, like, with sticks that they're going to beat him with is so insane.
Yeah.
And then one of them gets out a gun.
Yeah. And William says, shoot him.
Shoot him! And I was like, oh wow. My God.
I mean, it is blatantly racist. Like,
I was horrified. Yeah. And so was Kitty, by the way. She was just like, stop it. Very upsetting.
Mowgli doesn't know what a gun is, so he's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then he shoots him. Like, fortunately, Baloo just, like, roars and kind of makes the shot go astray.
Yeah, I think it like nicked his arm.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have to deal with any like bullet in his arm or anything.
Launched in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, he gets away. We soon see him go to the village.
Yes. To why?
Spy on Kitty.
Oh my god, he's a stalker. Okay. He is. So this isn't okay.
But I do wonder, like, does Mowgli remember her? Like, I'm so curious. We don't really get to know, like, what he was thinking during this whole time.
I don't know.
But I do wonder, like, I'm like, does he? I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe. He might not. It's just kind of fun to think about. Because this poor kid, like, he probably doesn't really remember hardly anything. He was only 5 years old.
Exactly.
When all of that happened, but it was a very traumatic thing. And sometimes the trauma can, like, freeze the memories, but it also can repress them. So, anyways, so he kind of, he goes to Stalker.
Cool jungle. It's really, not the jungle, sorry. The city, palace. Which was an accurate, like, it was an actual, like, palace base.
Yeah, and very cool village. Like, so awesome. I love, like, the street vendors and stuff like that.
Same, yeah.
Very Aladdin feeling.
Of course, yes.
Agrabah.
He goes, he scales the walls and gets into Katie's place when he, like, finds her. He's running from the guards because he runs into Wilkins, who is basically a useless waste of space.
He is, yeah.
Played by one of my favorite actors, Stephen Fleming. And this was apparently his first role, which is so cool.
Oh my god, I love that.
Because he went on to do some amazing movies, did a lot of Guy Ritchie movies like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, you know, Rock and Rolla. He's a really talented British actor. He also played Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Cool.
He's a cool guy. Really good actor. And he sounds the alarm, and Kitty is, like, wondering what the hell is going on.
Yeah, she's like, what the hell?
Mowgli shows up, and she's like, you're the one they're looking for, aren't you? You son of a bitch. Get that.
I can scream, and they'll be right in here.
And he's like, no, wait, here, take this flower and kiss me real quick.
this guy. It's the only thing
and
he
knows. She even says, it's like, what is with you and flowers and kissing? Yeah, why are you doing this? Like, what is this deal? It's like, is this not how it's done?
This is the only way I've seen this happen.
This is the way. and I think at that point, she notices
she
the necklace.
She sees the bracelet,
The bracelet.
He, like, lifts his arm just so, and she sees that he's hurt. And then she goes, let me see. Oh, no, he touched a candle and burned his fingers.
She says, don't touch that. And he burns his hand. She's like, I told you. He's like, yeah, you also know he doesn't fucking speak English. So,
So then she, like, takes some burn cream and puts it on his hands.
And he purrs, which is weird.
That was awkward. Yeah, that was weird. But that's when she sees the bracelet on his hand. And I was like, finally.
And she's like, Mowgli. He's like, oh, wait. I think I... Oh, shit. There's people with guns. I gotta go.
Yeah. So then he leaves and ensues, like, a very fun chase.
Yeah.
He has to run over hot coals.
Yes. Runs over hot coals. See? This is what I mean. This director knows how to direct an action sequence.
Totally. Too. Totally.
The hot coals. And then the... See? And this is when it gets a real fantastical because there's this... Do they do this? It's a rope illusion of some kind?
Yeah, I believe they do.
I think I looked this up one time, and I don't know. Like, you see it illustrated, like, right? Like, I've seen this image before.
Oh, me too, but I've also seen, like...
We have to look it up. Hold on. All right, we're finally back. We've been looking into this for, like, an hour.
For 8 years. I went down a rabbit hole and found this guy has a whole website dedicated to this magic trick.
Tell him about the website.
It's called, I'll read it to you guys. It's called themagiccafe.com. This guy went to India to try to research this magic trick. And what he found out was it started in the 13th century. Like, they can go back all the way to that. But
there's records of it, I'm sure.
Yeah. It gained popularity in the 19th century. No one would tell him how it's performed.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person that he encountered in India doing the trick would give him some elaborate folklore story to tell him on how it's done or why it's done or how it was created. And so he got no legit answers on how to perform this trick and how they do it. But he did see it with his own eyes multiple times while he was there.
It's just crazy. And basically the trick is, bamboo basket, rope. They have a name, but I won't attempt to pronounce it. But it's somebody who sits cross-legged and has some sort of wind flute? Instrument.
Yeah.
Flute instrument and is playing it, and it causes the rope to ascend
from and lengthen. Like a bamboo basket.
Mm-hmm. And so now it's straight and rigid, and then somebody, an assistant or something,
right,
climbs the rope halfway, you know, and showing like it's, you know, it's a trick because, I mean, it's amazing because, yeah, the rope isn't attached to anything. How is it doing this? I have to know.
So does this guy. And he's dedicated a lot of his life trying to figure it out.
Apparently, in the most classic variation of this trick, like, the person would go up, ascend so high that they disappear into the clouds.
Right.
And then the magician on the bottom would call up to them, and after getting no response, draws a knife and goes up on top of the clouds, disappearing as well. And then it's supposed to, like, you're supposed to hear a scuffle up in the clouds, and the and limbs start falling from the clouds.
Yikes, that's terrifying.
Yeah, and then the magician is supposed to come down and put the limbs in another basket and open it up, and the assistant is there.
I would be
traumatized. How the fuck did they do this in the 13th century? And yeah, especially in the 13th century, like, something like that. It's like, okay, we have to, what the fuck is going on?
I didn't want to watch another death today.
Well, anyway, we can't get hung up on it.
We don't know, guys. This is
such a small, inconsequential part of the movie.
But also, like, it does save his life. I feel really intrigued and also kind of excited about this. I like that the magic is alive there and that we don't get an answer.
We don't know.
Jacob's so upset by this, and I love it.
How the fuck do you do it? How would you do it? Like, especially back then, that's what blows my mind.
It's, you should, like, write to those magician guys that expose tricks. What are their names?
The Mythbusters?
No.
No, okay, good.
No, what in the hell are their names?
Oh, Penn and Teller.
Penn and Teller. They like to expose how you do magic tricks.
I love their, like, they have this invisible box routine or something where they do. They show you the trick, and then they show you how they did it.
Yeah. Like, I think we need to write to them and be like, excuse us.
It's amazing.
Have you heard of the Indian rope trick?
Crazy. So he uses that to his advantage, though, because he climbs the rope and, like, uses it to jump onto another ledge. And
it's funny, too, because, like, the security guy is right behind him. And as soon as Mowgli gets to the roof, one of the guys that's looking at the flute player, he kind of, like, does the whole net, like...
Yeah, nicks it.
Nicks it, yeah. And so the flute player stops and the guy falls.
Because they're like, no, fuck these colonials.
Yeah, we don't like these assholes.
Cut the rope.
Makes very fun.
Mowgli escapes.
Yeah,
no, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. Oh, God, they catch him. And they put him in this dungeon.
Yeah, they put him in a dungeon. They have this asshole Scottish, like, dungeon master.
Yeah, he's scary. You can kind of hear people, like...
Being tortured
in the background, which is very upsetting to me.
This is Harley. Or Sergeant Harley.
Sergeant Harley, yeah. It's terrible.
They bring him there, and because they like the little dagger that he's wearing.
Yeah, they want to know where he got it. They can see the gold on it. They know it's worth money, and they're like, there's some more somewhere.
Yeah, so we need to know where that is. So maybe beat the crap out of him until we find out where it is.
He calls him my little brown brother.
Yeah, they call him Savage. They call him all the things. Again,
but that rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, I don't like that, especially since he's in such, like, a helpless position.
These characters are unabashedly racist.
Yeah.
And Mowgli does his signature move. Kicks him in the sweets.
Yeah, he does.
Kicks him right in the balls.
Yeah, he does.
And it hurts.
I'm sure. I'm sure it doesn't feel good.
And he tries to get away, but they beat the crap out of him. And Sam Neill shows up and is like, what the hell is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, he kicked me in the sweets. Stop.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay. Well, understandable, but maybe, like, don't beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, be a little nicer.
Especially since we kind of want to get information out of him. And Caria was just like, oh, don't worry, sir. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this.
Terrible.
He's like, you're a good man, sir. Now, at this point, I'm like, Sam Neill, you're either an idiot or just, you know, I mean, choosing to be ignorant.
Yes.
Like, he's the example of that. Yeah, that... guy where it's just like, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I got such a cushy position here. I don't know it's Mowgli yet.
Right, he hasn't been told from his daughter yet. yet. She finds him shortly,
and
though.
He says, I will show him some charity. And, or it says, show him some charity. And they say, yeah, they're going to show him some charity. And, yeah, we know what's going on. I hate it.
Me too. I hate it so much. And then we hear, after all of that, we hear the animals, like, howling and looking for Mowgli. Oh, yeah,
the jungle is not happy. Like, yeah. I love that the jungle is a different character. And they're like, hey, yo, you got our bro.
Yeah.
Like, give him up.
I like that, too. And Mowgli's, like, looking out the window forlornly. Mm. And it's very sad.
Kitty comes to her father and is like...
Her and the doctor.
Yeah. Because
she's got the doctor on board already. She's really smart. When you want to, like, tag team a parent into agreeing with you on something, you should grab a friend.
Yeah. Bring a doctor.
Bring a doctor.
Bring John Cleese.
Bring a man if you're a woman.
Oh, true. There's that, too. There's some blatant sexism also.
I mean...
It's the time.
It is. So she, yeah, goes to her dad, and her and the doctor sort of, like, acting super nonchalant. Oh, you know, we think this could be Mowgli. Yeah. Remember that little boy?
Right.
He had mother's bracelet.
Yes. And it's like, interesting. And it's like...
They're like, well, we could teach him to talk. And
it's like, he's uncivilized. And it's like, we'll make him civilized. See, now this is not the right idea. So this is where Kitty is also wrong. She's like, oh, it's our duty to make him civilized.
Mm-hmm.
This is wrong. This is why. This is where the... white man went wrong, folks. It's like, no, it's our job. No, they want to be this, our way. Our way is the right way, and they're not that way, so right. We need to show them how. Come on, come here. No, no, put that down. No. Here, chop down these trees. No, it's the way. This is the way.
Yeah, so then we kind of get a montage of... She rescues him. She gets him out, by the way.
Yeah.
She's very... upset that his face looks like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get sort of a montage of him learning how to speak.
Yeah,
he does a really good job, and I think it's because he already knew
a little bit
English when he was little, right. A little bit, and so his brain is like tapping into this part that he like doesn't even really remember. But right. You know, they say that if you've like heard a language before and then you're in the space of the language, that your brain like remembers that and picks up on it. So I like that.
That makes sense. They try to give him a bath. He doesn't know what a bath is. He kind of freaks out.
Yeah, I would be scared of a bath. There's a lot of
funny little moments here. They're showing him slides of different things. Again, very, you know, very Tarzan.
Very Tarzan.
Yeah. And showing the different slides.
Pre-Tarzan, right? Pre-Tarzan.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And they... John Cleese, like, has some great moments of comedy in there.
Yeah.
Because he's like, no, that's not a boat. That's Queen Victoria.
So cute.
He sees the King Louis crown, and that's where King Louis gets his name, I'm guessing.
I loved that part so much.
Like, I've seen that hat. And she's like, oh, that's King Louis. He's like, oh, well, if you see him, let him know.
I know where his hat is. Very cute. Very, very cute.
Now he's speaking pretty well.
He does, yeah.
And but now she's like, she's walking with him through the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of, you know, showing her some things also.
The next note I have is, what is hate?
No, don't worry. We're going to get to that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, I don't remember what happened before there.
No, he's showing her around, and she asks, like, you know, if you could, you know, talk, if you could have told me how you felt back then, like, you know, did you feel anything? And he says, fire. And she says, fire? Like, yeah.
Fire.
Great fire. And she's like, oh, that kind of fire. He's like, yeah, the fire five-year-old. In my pants.
No. Yikes.
She's like, you're gross. He's get like, away I'm from a man.
Me. Stop trying to give me flowers and kissing me.
Yeah.
Boo.
No. So there's that. And she's like, well, I can't. And he's like, hey, could you please stay here? And she's like, I can't. There's formalities and customs. It's like, well, even she's like, see, again, like, everybody's guilty of it, folks. Like, it's a slippery slope. Because even she's like, no, I can't. Like, yeah, I love you, but no, it's just not done. Like,
well, what? Technically, it would be bad for her.
Yeah.
If somebody found them in the jungle together alone, even if they weren't doing anything.
Yeah, but that's wrong.
It is wrong, but as a woman in that society, like, that could ruin your entire life. Okay, it's bullshit, but it's true.
Get rid of that.
You're done with that?
Keep slipping off my...
But she does stay with him for a while.
Yes.
She does. It's very sweet.
It's cute.
Cute.
I think, is this when, yes. Captain Boone, which is Carrie Elwes's character, mm-hmm. he meets up with an old friend, Bodeo, and they meet at this tavern, like, which was apparently made, like, they utilized the space, this one space, for a lot of different things.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Because this was just ruins found amongst where the Monkey City Temple was, I think, and they used that for, but that's supposed to be in the town. So see, they were able to use, like, different things.
Yeah.
And meets with him, and looking at the dagger, and he's like, this dagger has an interesting history. It comes from the Temple of Hanuman. You know, it was a civilization where, you know, they, you know, plundered all the riches and all this and that. Like, it's the same, it's the story of, like,
yeah, it's
the
story cool.
of industrialization and whatever. Because they, yeah, had a bunch of treasure. But then, over time, like, you know, the jungle started to take the area back and mm-hmm. consumed the land. So, yeah. There's yeah. lots of stories of this, and, like, lots of stories in South America in particular. There's a lot of old ruins from cities that were really prosperous, and then just one day, you know, they...
stopped.
And it's usually a case of, like, yeah, people just exceed their means. Like, it's like, okay, we're overpopulated, we don't have enough food, so we gotta move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's another example of that, and but it leaves behind all this great treasure, and like, we need to find out where it is. Well, we still know that kid that knows where it is.
Yeah.
I liked this line from the one good contribution from Wilkins. He's just like, you know, if he can be taught to, if he can be taught to speak, then he could be made to talk.
It is a good line.
Yeah, it's a really good one. And so that's basically what the next plan of action is. Like, okay, he's been learning long enough, so now we can kind of, you know, get him to cooperate. Yeah,
we can force it now.
So William meets with him. He meets with Kitty first. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, goddammit. Well, she has the meeting with her father, who's like, hey, you know, people are starting to talk. You need to cool with that jungle boy. And it even that makes me cringe. They keep calling him the jungle boy. And he's like, you can't do that. He's like, you know, it's not allowed.
Yeah, he's not civilized.
He's like, I think I might have to send you back to England. She's like, no, please don't. It's like, well, it's either go back to England or, you know, find me a better offer.
Yeah, marry and that guy that better offer, nobody likes.
Yeah, is in the form of Carrie Elwes being like, hey, if you marry me, we'll have power, riches, wealth. And she's like, in love? What about that thing? He's like, oh, yeah.
Of course.
That too, of course. It's like, hey, what do you say I show that friend of yours around? Because, your friends are my friends now.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, you can be so sweet. It's like, again, people, you can't see what he's doing here. What are you doing?
Honestly, he's also the one that had him in that torture chamber, guys.
Come on, bastards.
Yeah.
They're all complicit in my eyes.
He takes him around.
Yeah, these people enable Captain Bone's psychotic behavior. They just enable it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so he's showing him all these different weapons. He's like, oh, yeah, you kind of push this in your enemy, and you crack it open, twist it around. Aren't people great? Like, yeah, the things we like, come up with.
We can pull out a stomach with this. And he's like,
well, why? Oh, and then do you eat him? And he's like, well, no, of course not. He's like, oh, does he eat you? He's like, well, no.
No.
He's like, well, then why do you kill him? He's like, because he's your enemy. He's like, well, what is enemy? Someone you hate. And what is hate? And he can't even... answer him.
Right, because how can
you? Yeah, how do you describe it? Like, when you really start to think about that, then it's like, well, what I've been doing is a lie. Nobody can... Nobody wants to take the first step, people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it comes down to. Nobody wants to say, fuck this shit, maybe let's not hurt each other.
Yeah, which honestly.
Is stupid.
So sad. And that's such... I liked seeing that portrayed there because that's such a thing too. Like with children, we teach children to hate.
Yeah.
Right. It's horrible.
So this, yeah, this scene, like this whole scene, like is really
powerful.
Powerful, like, yeah, great depiction of colonialism versus, you know, the utilitarian mm-hmm. way of life versus the egalitarian lifestyle.
Yeah.
Man's law rules around here. He even says, like, you know, in the jungle, there's just only one law, you know. You kill for, man has many laws, most about killing. You kill for sport and anger and treasure. The jungle law says you can only kill to eat or to keep from being eaten. Mic drop.
Mm-hmm.
Like a full stop. Like that's yeah. really all you need to do. Because then it's like, well, why do we do all the other stuff? It's like, well, power. Like it's for yeah. power and shit. It's so stupid.
I agree.
You know.
He takes him into this room like where all the animals' heads are on the walls.
He's gotta get into his head.
So fucked up.
Get into his head.
Poor little Mowgli.
You know, you almost sound like a man instead of an animal trained to sound like one. Like, you know, like, this is just so blatantly racist. The more I learn about what it is to be a man, the more I want to be an animal.
Yes.
He's like, I hunt animals, you know. It's like, well, maybe someday you'll hunt me.
Bitch.
Pretty much, yeah. And then cut to a beautiful ballroom scene to celebrate the engagement of Captain Boone and Kitty.
Yeah, this ballroom is so cool. Also, Mowgli shows up in a very adorable little princely sort of outfit. Love
it. Prince Adi, my
yes.
dear. Yes.
Sorry,
I'm
texting Josh. I'm texting my husband in the other room telling him to go pick up our dinner. So anyways.
This ballroom didn't have a ceiling.
I didn't know that.
This was all filmed outdoors.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And they like just had to light the shit out of it.
Wow.
And yeah, because you'll know, if you'll look back, like, yeah, they never showed the ceiling because there isn't one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The girls are kind of like looking at him.
I loved this.
He's me like, too.
It's like, oh, what? You come to look at the, come to look at the Jungle Boy in his fancy new outfit. Well, I'll show you. He grabs a fly.
Fly pretends to eat it.
They run away.
They're like, ugh. Oh. But then he lets it go.
Yeah, he lets it go.
Very funny. Very cute scene.
John Cleese says the bare necessities.
Yes, he did. Yep. Disney was like. Please.
Could you just
insert come on. That
and also kill the mothers? It's like, god dang it. Okay.
All right. Now here's $40 million.
Yeah.
yeah, it's cute. Him and Kitty dance. She actually asked him to dance, which it's I so liked. Cute. It was adorable. What a really sweet dance.
And he Gary was just such a dick because his first words was like, fascinating. It's like, what? What? Yeah. The fact that I danced, but that's fascinating. Asshole. Why? Like, I love it. So gross.
So then they make the announcement that they're engaged. Mm.
And Mowgli wants to know what that means.
Yeah, like, he's like, what is that?
This is so great. I love that they all these conventions that they bring.
Like, I love it too.
Because it illustrates the idea of like it's ownership. Like marriage, it's ownership.
Yeah, like, he's like,
it's like, well, she belongs to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What an upsetting way to depict that. But I liked that they did that so much. It's so true of the times, especially. Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm out of here.
Bye. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
He's leaving and Kitty's like, wait, don't go. He's like, no, I gotta go. She's like, no, you're not an animal, you're a man. He's like, I am not a man! And I am not an animal.
He gets pushed into all their food.
Oh,
by the assholes.
I wanted him, yeah.
Wilkins, I wanted to forget them. It yeah. was so fucking rude.
Wilkins and them, and she tries to run after him, and at first Carrie was just like, no, Catherine.
Yeah, he like grabs her arm and yeah, she jerks cool. it away.
Yeah.
And
then they have the talk about it's like, I'm not a man and I am not an animal. You know, I run with the wolf pack, you must run with the man pack. It is the proper thing.
Take that. Yeah.
And he runs away. And she's like, basically, I'm going to go after him or something. Or no, she just says, I can't marry you.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mistake. Now he's like, you're mistaken. I'm not going to let you leave me for some puerile jungle boy.
Yeah.
She slaps his ass. Well, not his ass, his face. The same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say. Is there a difference, though?
And leaves him with a sting still in his face.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she's going to head on back to England because fuck this. Fuck this shit, I'm out!
You good, bro?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, she's like, bye. Mowgli has reunited with Baloo and his peeps in the jungle.
They're hanging out. And he hears commotion. People are running through the forest. Mm-hmm. Looking for him. Hunting him down.
Which is so fucked.
Hunting him down.
But they want to know where that treasure is, guys.
Yeah.
Where's the treasure?
And they find him, and they start messing with him, but he manages to escape because he's got sick jungle skills.
Hells, yes.
And he's got friends in high places.
Yeah.
And low places.
Baloo
Williams, or what?
Oh, I was just going to say Baloo gets shot in the...
Oh, yeah.
So sad.
He gets shot hardcore.
Yeah, I thought he was a goner.
And he runs all the way. So this was epic and interesting. Like, there's this big running scene. It looks like it's at night. And so that's what, it became a little confusing because he runs all the way back to town looking for the Dr. Plumford, but he's on the caravan with Kitty and all of them mm-hmm. going back to England, or to the boat that's going to take her to England and everything like that.
Right.
And so then he's on the trail to get to that caravan. Now that, it can't have been a whole day that's gone by.
I don't know. Yeah, the time was kind of weird there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because it was kind of gray looking. It looked very, I think it was more like an emotional like thing where it's like he feels gray maybe, but it was kind of unclear.
Yeah, so he encounters the doctor because he needs him
to help Baloo. Well, okay, so, but the caravan gets intercepted and everything. Williams, or Captain Boone's people, like, attack everybody.
Yes.
Animals start freaking out and attacking and shit. They kidnap Kitty, which was kind of the plan all along.
Right.
Because they know that Mowgli will come for her.
Yeah.
But they kidnap Sam Neill in the process.
Uh-huh.
So William is not happy to see him, but they're like, well, sorry. It's like, well, great. Now the cat's out of the bag. Yes, I'm a bad guy.
Didn't want you to know, but...
Didn't want you to know, but, well, now you're probably gonna die.
So it's fine.
And so they take them hostage and threaten to kill Kitty if Mowgli doesn't help them find the Monkey City.
Monkey City.
And he's like, okay, I'll take you there. That's cool. Don't hurt her. So they're hanging out around the campfire, and he's kind of giving them directions, but he doesn't tell them everything because he knows better. So it's like, well, if you know you're still alive, I'll tell you more. And the jungle is freaking out. They're like, let him go, and he tells them to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
I love that he just gives a little howl, and the jungle calms down. It's like, I wish I could do that sometimes, like when you're out in the country and stuff. It's just so loud.
Yeah,
surprisingly loud. Makes him calm down. Next morning, like, he helps, has Bagheera break his bonds free. Bagheera break his bonds free. He's running away. Harley chases after him. Quicksand, this is the movie that made me afraid of quicksand.
Same!
Yeah.
That was a pretty realistic depiction of quicksand. I think they did a really good job there.
Originally, they were going to use oatmeal, and then the actor...
That. Was like, fuck that.
Refused, which is... It's like, no, fuck that. It's like, okay, we'll get real quicksand, basically, then. It's like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it is like, weird. I understand, like, not wanting to get into a warm pit of cooked oatmeal. Like, that wouldn't be a good texture to have on your body, but you know what? It's like, so it's good for your skin, too, that he's, like, really... It's his loss.
Yeah, it's weird.
And like they,
because he's going into a pit of something.
Yeah, no matter what, he's going into a pit of something. So it's very weird.
Yeah,
that he was like, no. I want the real thing that's not good for skin and harmful and way more expensive, probably.
Probably. And yeah, they made this look really realistic. And poor Will, like, really I did feel bad for Will because he was trying, but yeah, it was just, you know, there was no real helping him.
Yeah, you can't.
William is a typical asshole. He's just like, okay, well, now we need to get upset about every little thing. Let's go. Like, they leave the dad behind. Mowgli shows up and manages to bring him to an elephant.
Yeah.
The dad has some weird thing against elephants for whatever reason. It's just a funny gag, I guess.
Had to be an elephant.
Had to be an elephant.
I thought that was funny.
Indiana Jones has his snakes. I've got my elephants.
Yes.
And he's like, thank you, Mowgli. I find, you know, any man lucky who considers you a friend, which is really
very
nice.
Very sweet thing
to say. Oh, good. We're on equal terms again? Good. Tut, 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 tut.
Bye.
And it sends him along its way. So this is weird. Mowgli escapes, like, helps him get away. He leaves behind a little arrow pointing them in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And also the dad's shoulder medals or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Kitty's like, oh good, my father lives. They get to a waterfall. Don't go chasing them, though.
Chasing waterfalls.
And they're like, they know they're getting close. And then this character attempts to take Mowgli out on the waterfall. So this is where it gets weird for me, because, like, well, you still need him to show you the way.
Yeah, it was weird.
But I guess maybe they figure it's like, we're pretty much there. We can figure it out.
Need his help,
which
is wrong.
Is kind of a, like, but also believable, which is like, we can figure it out. I am white man.
Well, and I'm sure they don't want anything stopping in the way of their treasure. Like,
true.
They have their eye on the prize.
Right. So this character tries to take him out, like, is about to drop a rock on him.
Yikes.
Really intense top of waterfall fight scene.
Yeah.
And he kicks him in the ball. So I get a little tired of Mowgli's go-to move of kicking people in the nuts.
It's my go-to move too.
And he falls off. He does get a Disney death. This was probably something else Disney ordered. It's like, okay, you gotta have somebody die by falling off of a really high area. Well, we don't really have. Well, you gotta find a way to put it.
Yeah,
in there.
We gotta find that. Like,
okay, no moms and death from very high up.
Mm-hmm,
good,
mm-hmm,
you understand us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that happens, and Kitty gets to be like, oh, what a shame. Shall we continue? Continue?
Continue? Kitty and William are going to see Monkey Palace, Monkey City.
Yeah, they find Monkey City. They find the big open mouth.
Yeah.
They see Mowgli. They're shooting at him. Like, I don't know what. Like, they have this weird
eyes.
It's like, oh,
weird
good.
Now.
Oh, good. You're showing us. Oh, but also die.
Let's kill him now. It's so weird.
Shere
Khan
is on their heels. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fun fact. It was 137 degrees in the Monkey City because of that wall where they had the fire, where they had the candles lit.
Yeah, yeah.
So extremely hot because it was averaging like over 100 in India to begin with.
Already.
And then you add the fire in, and they said that shooting the scenes in the Monkey City was really horrible.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Would be terrible.
Well, particularly like the temple scenes. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Inside scenes, interior scenes of the Monkey City. Anyway.
So Shere Khan comes.
Shere Khan comes. Wilkins accidentally shoots Bodeo.
And
kind of
Shere
funny,
Khan
but
says,
tragic at the same
time.
Time
to die, bitch.
Time to die, Wilkins. You're the weakest.
Yeah, you killed
like,
someone.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Not eating them, so
yeah,
we're
right.
Gonna,
oh, that's good, sure.
Gonna slice you up.
And so you could tell the actor was in the like distance running scenes, but it was a stunt double for when like he finally chases him down.
Right.
And if you're really looking, like, yeah, that tiger's being awfully nice. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like if you're really paying attention, it's like,
very sweet tiger.
That's really cute.
So adorable.
But they throw in some sounds and some good old cries for help.
And it works. Yeah. It works.
Inside the Monkey City, yeah, they light that wall of fire all around. They're
such a creep. We could have all of this.
Making their way. Bodeo is chasing Mowgli. He gets, again, like, this director loves to put people in situations where they are sealed in places to death.
Yeah, like, this was upsetting.
Yeah, this freaked me out as a kid also. It's like, same. Okay, I don't want to go anywhere that looks like this.
Yeah, because how can you tell when the ceiling is going to crush you? I was always scared of that from video games and from this. Yeah. Like, I remember, yikes.
Like, and it is possible. Again, it's one of those mechanisms that is possible to make. Like, they made tombs like this. So it was a matter of, like, sand or salt.
Mm-hmm.
You put the structure on top of that and, seal it up. And so if at the base of that you have the sand pouring out, it's going to continue to pour out. And with the sand dissipating, that pillar's going to lower.
Yeah.
So it'll seal you in there.
What a terrible way to die.
And there's no way to reset it.
Nope.
So, bye-bye, Bodeo. Yeah, a lot of really traumatizing deaths. Quicksand.
Yeah, I agree.
Mauled by a tiger.
Yeah.
Sealed away to death. Man.
Falling down off a cliff.
Yeah, falling off a cliff. My goodness.
The dad died in the fire with the animals.
Oh, yeah.
Mowgli's dad.
That's right.
Yeah.
Naboo.
And the moms gave birth and died. We didn't see it, but it's still trauma.
Crazy. High body count for this Disney movie.
High body count.
Carrie Elwes and them are chasing Mowgli.
Yeah, they are.
And they fall down all the way into the hidden treasure room.
Yeah.
And Carrie Elwes is freaking out. He gives a nice villain laugh.
So I also wrote that down. Cue the villain laugh.
Like,
oh my God.
And he really goes full bore.
He did it. And I dug it, if I'm being honest. It was really good. It was a
solid villain laugh.
So good.
And Mowgli shows up. They have a little swordy sword fight.
Yeah, they do.
This was really cool.
Really cool. He kind of rescues Kitty, and he's just like, let's just leave this asshole to his fate.
He's like, what do you got? He's like, oh, just the strength of a bear, speed of a panther,
yeah, it was funny.
Heart of wolf, very sharp teeth. He cuts him. He cuts him good.
Yeah, he does. He cuts his arm.
He's like, okay, well, I'm taking Kitty and we're getting out of here.
Yeah.
Kiryu stays behind to grab some treasure for himself.
Yeah. I'm sure he was planning on chasing them down, but he, like, genuinely couldn't see past all of this gold in front of him. So Mowgli gets Kitty out, and she's just like, can't we just grab one piece?
I know, even she can't even, she can't resist it.
She's like, I want a piece. And I'm just like, girl, you're so rich. Don't even worry about it.
Still a colonialist at the end.
But Mowgli tells her, no, it just brings death.
And he's right. Because, like, it's always, Carrie Elwes is going to steal some of that treasure.
He filled a backpack full. And puts it on his back and, like, actually tumbles backwards a little because it's so heavy.
King Louie gives a signal.
Yeah, and starts doing the monkey howling.
The monkeys go quiet, and Carrie was just like, what's going on?
Yeah, that would be very alarming.
Yeah.
Like, something's up. Something is happening.
And then the snake shows up again. Like, so this is the thing. Kaa would be dead. Like,
I would think.
Snakes can't heal like that, right?
They heal fairly quickly, but not from a gash. Mowgli really gashed. I don't know.
They cut off the tip of his tail, maybe. But, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, whatever. It's a kid's movie.
We're just gonna pretend that it was a scratch, because they do, like, shed their skins and stuff, and, you know, they do have healing properties, but not with how big I thought that Mowgli got her. But, anyways.
Another traumatizing death with Carrie was falling all the way to... I always love when they do this type of thing, though, where it's like the treasure weighs them down. It's very symbolic and metaphorical.
It is, and I like it, too.
And he's down there, and it's like, I love, like, being met with all these different skeletons
down at
the bottom.
Yes, and he's looking side to side to side, and he's trying to get his backpack off, and then...
Kaa strikes. It's the worst close-up of the whole movie or whatever.
It is. Because
it's clearly a fake snake.
It is.
But, you know, they do it quick enough that it's like, okay, and we're done.
And William screams, and we know he's about to die. Yeah.
Very horrifying.
I assume that he got poisoned and drowned.
he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
And so cut to outside, and boom, cue the intense entrance music of Shere Khan.
Hell yeah, I love this.
Meets up with him, and Kitty's like, no, don't do it, he'll kill you. He's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I got this. I'm scared out of my mind, but I got this.
I am a tiger.
And Full tiger, here we go. And a few exchanges of rah, 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 And
staring, you know, each other down.
It is pretty anticlimactic in some ways, where it's just like, rah, 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 rah.
And then Shere Khan just sits.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm going to just sit now.
You know what? You're right.
You may pass.
You're a full tiger. You're great!
Oh my god.
And Mowgli's like, I did it. I'm full tiger now.
Yeah.
And it's great. He lived up. He fulfilled his destiny.
Yeah, he fulfilled it. The prophecy.
And in the end, I think this is what we're all trying to do. It's like, it's really just about becoming fully yourself.
Yeah,
like
I love that.
It took Mowgli going on this full journey. Sure, he took a little dip into civilization, but it just wasn't for him. At the end of the day, he needed to be part of the jungle. And so this is what it took.
The Lord of the Jungle.
And yeah, he earned Shere Khan's respect was the thing. It's just like, yeah, oh, he doesn't fear me. He upholds the jungle law. Okay.
Yeah. So they get back to the camp and who does he see but Baloo.
Baloo lives.
Yay. Thank God. The doctor saved him. Very sweet. Oh, and then she gives him, they go to the, they take like a little walk and they go in front of the waterfall and she gives him a flower.
Wow.
And then kisses him, which she's, I thought was on the other very foot. Cute.
Yeah, very cute.
Very sweet.
And he decides, and there's a little poem at the end, I think it is from Rudyard Kipling, which basically says, it's like, you know, long life to those who uphold the jungle law.
So yeah, I wrote that down.
Even though this is written from the point of view of a colonialist, Rudyard Kipling was a pretty racist, like, you know, he was, yeah, colonial, you know, grew up in colonial India, like, so even though it was written by a guy like that, in the end, the message seems to always be that nature is the right way to go.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just that we suck so much as a species that we can't stop ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We know full well that nature is the way to go. Like, not exceeding our means is the way to go, but we just, like, relegated ourselves to saying, well, it's too late now, but I don't believe that.
Yeah. I love that, though. What a nice little way to end it.
Yeah, because in the end, it's Mowgli that's the right one. I don't even know if they... I mean, I don't think, like, she's going to go live with him in the jungle, and I don't think he's going to go live with her in civilization, so I think they're going to go their separate ways.
Or they'll be together but live separately. Very modern. my last fun fact, they had over 200 trained animals, 54 of which were tigers, 14 of which were purebred wolves. Very cool.
Yeah.
That's my last one. My last fun fact.
The jungle
fact.
Protects those who respect it and keep its laws.
It's true. Respect the land.
Respect it.
Respect it.
Recycle, reduce, and reuse. Don't just recycle. You gotta reduce and reuse.
Yeah, people.
And that's the movie.
Yeah.
Really great movie.
So fun. I love it so much.
Tell your friends, because it's a great, it's very relevant
so
to now.
It's so good. Yeah, for sure. I watched it on Amazon Prime. It was like $3 or $4 maybe. Worth every penny. It was great. I loved it.
I enjoyed it a great deal.
Recommendations.
So, recommendations. I'm recommending a documentary called Kill All the Brutes. It's available on HBO Max. Comes in 4 separate episodes. It's basically about colonization. A lot of the stuff that is mentioned in this movie is mentioned in that documentary, so highly recommend it. It's from the same director that did I Am Not Your Negro, which is also another good documentary.
Awesome. On HBO Max?
HBO Max.
Very cool.
Kill All the Brutes.
I'm going to recommend Men in Kilts. It's on Stars, so we're both recommending something you have to subscribe to, but hey-o. Stars has, I know HBO does too, free trials, if you don't have them and you want to check it out. But Men in Kilts stars Sam Heughan and Graham McTavish, two Scottish men that play in the show that I love called Outlander. They take a road trip across Scotland, and they, like, do the research on all of the heavy history that's in the show. And they, like, play Highland games, and they're taught by a Highland gamer, like somebody that does that for a profession. They do Scottish tap dances. It's really, really just a fun freaking show. Like, I've binged all 8 episodes. There's only 8. It's a travel show, but it's with two very lovable characters. I love them very much. It's very fun, and you learn a little bit about that Scottish heritage, which is kind of neat. Yeah. Totally enjoy it. Men in kilts.
Men. We're men in kilts. All right. And time to figure out what we're watching next week.
It's time
to vote between these two movies. In the one corner, we've got Inspector Gadget, which is based off of the cartoon with the very memorable TV theme.
Yes.
It's about a guy who, about a do-good, you know, police officer, a do-good security guard, rather, who encounters a very horrible accident, and his vital organs are replaced with various weird gadgetry.
Right.
And he's now a sort of super soldier, kind of, but not really, because a lot of his gadgets are useless.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the face of crime fighting. Basically, I guess that's what it's about.
I remember being very excited for this movie to come out.
For sure. Because I loved the cartoon show.
Same. But I don't know how good the movie is.
Me neither.
What's against it?
Versus Flubber.
Flubber?
The 90s, no, 2000s?
Early 2000s, I think.
Early 2000s movie starring legendary Robin Williams.
Hell yes.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
About a absent-minded professor who invents a weird new compound called Flubber, which, in addition to being sentient and able to bounce and move around on its own, gives the cars the ability to fly.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And so Robin Williams just plays it. It's really...
kind of a wacky scientist, professor character.
And no matter what, his performance is great. So, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't visited this movie since I was small, since it probably came out. But I remember watching it a lot when it came out.
Right.
Like, so I don't know if that means it's good. I don't know if it holds up.
I think it really is the power of Robin Williams.
Like, he's so good, right?
Yeah.
He was so good. Inspector Gadget with...
Matthew
Broderick, who I love, but Jacob doesn't, and he judges me for this. Matthew Broderick versus Flubber, who has Robin Williams, who I also love.
Yeah.
And nobody judges me for that.
So, pick them out. Like, you can vote on it various ways. One way would be to send us an email.
At DisneyChannelSurfers@gmail.com.
You could also head on over to the Instagram, which we have, which is at Disney Channel Surfers. You can follow us individually, me at Jacobine Watson.
Me at Casey Schwartz.
But we usually post the voting around Sunday evening or Monday morning.
Yeah.
And voting ends on Tuesday. You'll have 24 hours to get in there and make your voice heard. If you're a Flubber fan, if you're an Inspector Gadget fan, be sure to get in there.
Get in there.
Because it goes by fast. By the way, you can listen to us on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a Facebook.
Yeah, it's at Disney Channel Surfers.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
Keep you up to date and all that good stuff.
Hells yeah.
Well, this was awesome. I love this movie. Let's rate it. Didn't even rate it. I think we know full well. So yeah, 1, 2, 3,
9.
Okay.
I don't even know why I didn't give it a 10.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very critical lately.
Which is fine. Like, you know, there's cringy moments in it.
So. There is. I loved it, though, much. I haven't given a 9 in such a long time.
Yeah, for sure. It's still a great high score.
Freaking good.
It's like a 4.5 if we were doing 5.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Awesome. Well, tune in next week, folks. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm
just
excited.
Just another reminder that this podcast, as we know it, is ending. It's going to be under a different name, but the show, like, we're still going to be watching classic movies from when we were growing up and stuff. It's just not going to be strictly under the Disney banner.
That's right.
That's all. So just keep an eye out on that and an ear out. And we'll let you know what it's going to be called.
Yeah.
All right. Ta-ta for now.
Bye.